How many are glad you're going to heaven this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I believe that. I can see you with your hands raised.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
John Bevere, I was watching him the other day, and I haven't watched or heard too many of what he says or what he does or whatever, but my God, I said, man, this man is a worshiper. Because I was listening to him, and I was hearing him break down Philippians, and when he got to that part, he was talking about Paul's high calling. And I knew he was a worshiper because many preachers talk about Paul believing his high calling was his apostleship. And his high calling was his intimacy with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted to know. He wanted to get, and that's our high calling this morning.
Yes.
But his message was plain and simple, was this, and it was a wonderful message, but he took it out of Isaiah. And I'm just giving him credit. I wish I'd have come up with it. But he said, Isaiah said this, and there's a powerful, powerful chapter where Isaiah says, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the year that, and Isaiah had a tremendous in the temple, holy, holy, holy experience with God. The amazing part was what was led up to that. Uzziah was a wonderful king. He really was a godly man. But later in his life, his heart was lifted up with pride. He went in to sacrifice in the temple, which he was not allowed to. And the priest said, you need to get out. And he said, I'm not getting out. I'm the king. I'm not getting out. And the Bible says leprosy appeared on his forehead. And leprosy began to grow until he died a leper, the king of Judah. And the whole moral of the story was this. As he broke it down quite eloquently in the spirit. He said this. Uzziah died because of not the leprosy, but he died because of the sin of pride. And he said he travels all over the world, and he wasn't glad of it, but he was privy to information he didn't want. He knew preachers and ministries that fell on a monthly basis for years. And he said this. He said it was not the moral sin that took him out. The leprosy is only the outside thing. He said what took him out was the inward thing, which was pride. Leprosy is only the outside sins that people see, that people go, oh, they're gasped. I can't believe that person's capable of that. That's not the thing that takes them out. It's the inside sin of pride that takes them out. And the moral of the story was this, and this is powerful. Listen to this. He said, in the year that pride died, when Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. Isaiah was very close to Uzziah, but when pride was able to be put in the ground, then Isaiah was able, the vision of the temple, the vision of holy, holy, holy appeared. Listen, you and I get an opportunity every day of our life, and especially in these services. And I'm not saying if you stand out there that you're in pride. I'm just saying do whatever you can to exuberantly praise the Lord and give yourself over, because I'm going to tell you this, there is safety in humility. There is exposure in pride, but there is safety and covering in humility. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So with that said, I need some worshipers up here. I need some people up here that really know how to worship God. Well, I don't like the music. Yield.
Hallelujah.
I've had a bad hair day. Yield.
Hallelujah.
I don't like my husband. I don't like my wife. I don't like my preacher. Yield. Hallelujah. There is safety in humility. You will see the Lord in humility. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Matthew.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Be blessed. We love you. Candy and I love you this morning. Hallelujah. God loves you more than anything else. Hallelujah. For take great hope, saith the Spirit of grace. For these are days of great change. And great explosion from glory to glory. For often the mind will argue and say, well, we've heard God say this before. Yes, and I say it again, for this is in my heart always to tell you that I have the capacity in Christ to change you from glory to glory, saith the Spirit of God. So when someone says, oh, it sounds like it's getting better and better all the time. That's what I'm trying to say, says the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would say again to you, saith the Spirit of grace, the change is coming, and much change. Not just change corporately as a church, but change beginning first with you as individuals, saith the Spirit of grace. So lean into my change, for there will be pain. But know this, the pain that I cause through chastening is not the pain of this world, nor is it fear or trepidation, but it is the separation from those things of the past into those things which are of the future, saith the Spirit of grace. Have I not said that those that I love, that I chasten as a father? But know this, that if you'll allow the chastening to have its full proof in you, you'll find always the peaceable fruit of the Lord waits at every turn for you, says the Spirit of grace. For have I not said that there is a place of good and there is a place of acceptable? Oh, but I desire for you to all come and dwell in that place of perfect with me, saith the Spirit of grace. Not just on my part do I say these things, but I see for my children that dwelling in that place of perfect for them is peace and strength and security of life, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. For there to be change, that it's the best place for change to take place is when it's welcomed change. In fact, He can't chase you down and make you change. That's the one that would you step over into the blood. You step over into Him. Then the next part is all free will. Well, it was free will based on your decision for Christ. But however far you'll go, you look at somebody sometimes and you say, my goodness, God has taken them a long ways. And He has. Sometimes we get a mystique about us, or about them. We'll think, boy, God just put His hand on them and brought them. No. If God just put His hand on certain ones and brought them up to a higher place and they got real close to God and was filled with power and good works and peace, nothing bothered them and stuff, and He just did that with certain ones because of their calling, then He'd be a respecter of persons. And the Bible says He respects no man's person. But He's an equal opportunity kind of Father. Hallelujah. Well, I got a special call. That what? No, your call has nothing to do with how intimate you get with God. There's preachers that are called and they don't know God in an intimate sense of the word. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen part, of course, is the part, Matthew 20, is when you choose to pursue Him. And in that pursuit, then you keep going higher and higher and higher. That's why Jesus broke it down. Good, acceptable, and perfect. You could go into it. The blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. He continued to talk about. And then when the apostles began to write, they based all their writings upon His sayings and saying that He changes us from glory to glory. You got to understand this. If He's bringing you from one place to the next, if you yield to it and lean into it, then is that change readily available for you. And it can be expedited. It can go from just a short season of change into or what could be a long, long drawn out. It's all based on how you'll lean in to Him. Now abideth these three, 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. Faith is what we're changing, moving mountains with. And without faith, it's impossible. Hope is ever looking towards the future. That's our ground for revival. Hope is our ground for revival. We're depending on something that we've never seen, and combined with that faith, we're believing. But hope is futuristic in the sense it's ever reaching. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these Don't tell me that God doesn't break something down, and He breaks it down, and He breaks it down. And He says, now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. But if you want to know what the champion of all these are, He says, love. Now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. Charity. But charity is the greatest, He said, of all these. Hallelujah. Well, I want Him. Well, then what you're wanting is you want change then. You want to go from a place. Listen, I don't want to find fault in any teaching. I don't want to find fault with anything that anybody said at one time. And then they get down the road and they find out what they were saying wasn't right. Because then I'd receive a whole bunch of stones on myself because we're ever changing. But you cannot go to a place of intimacy with Him and a place of fellowship in the Word with Him and make statements like this. All sin is the same. All sin is the same. I mean, all sin is the same. What? You mean to tell me, and I've heard him say, driving 5 miles over the speed limit's just the same as committing adultery. My God, where in God's name did you get that? You didn't get it out of the Word. You didn't get it out of intimacy going in. You mean to tell me that me saying, bam, oh, and I don't practice it, but bam, oh, blah, 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 blah. You mean that's the same as committing adultery on candy? Only religion teaches things like that. But you can't go into your Father because you know Him and He tells you that your life is this. In fact, every area of your life in His eyes are broke down usually in a process of good, acceptable, and perfect. You're already in the blood. But it's based on how much you're yielding to Him as far as how far you're in. If He didn't know sin in different degrees, He'd have never wrote in 1 John and said, there is a sin unto death. There's a sin that's not unto death. I do not say that you to pray for the sin unto death, but you can pray for the sin that's not unto death. He broke it down even in that, in the far extreme. And then He broke it down good, acceptable, perfect, blade, ear in the corn. Come on. Even your earthly fathers didn't chasten you like that. They broke it down because they knew you. They knew you. Here's the amazing part. You can be walking along with God in a certain area of your life and it's perfect for a while. But then when He lays His hand upon you, like say, for instance, in the area of love and those kinds of things and the way that you tolerate or people have to tolerate you, it's all right for a long time and you're fellowshipping with God with a perfect conscience. And then He'll lay His hand on you and He'll want to change something inside of you based on the submission of your heart and how quick that season changes. It can go to another level, even at perfect. But here's the thing. If you resist Him, say you're walking along here and He wants to take you up here. Some level of your walk and some level of your flesh that you're tolerating. And as long as you're fellowshipping with God and that's the amount you're going on in the Word, you're yielding to God and you're submitting to Him and you think you're doing all right. And in fact, you're in a perfect sense. But then perfect is here and God lays His hand on you and says, okay, all right, you've been fellowshipping with me and you've been praying in tongues and you've been fasting periodically and you've been in my Word. I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to purge something inside of you because I'm your Father and I want to fellowship with you on a higher level. If you begin to yield to that and snip, 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 here it comes. And then you begin to see things about yourself and you say, wow, I never saw that before. Well, the reason why He's doing that is not to condemn you. He's showing that you can yield into it and say, okay, I yield my members over to you. But you know what? If you resist it, you hide from it, you don't want to talk about it, and every time He brings it up, you flip the TV on instead of even praying or thinking, man, I'm feeling miserable. There's a miserability that comes from the devil. There's a miserableness that comes from us resisting God. I don't want to resist God. I want to yield into Him. And then when I yield into Him, resisting Him is nothing. Hallelujah. In fact, to tell you the truth, in a lot of cases, when it comes to Christians, I honestly even hate to mention the devil's name. Because he's really not even a factor. And people like to use him as an excuse and say, he came, and if he hadn't come, then I wouldn't be in this, or they wouldn't be in this. Come on, how powerful is the blood of Jesus? If Romans 6 says sin has been separated by the blood, we're not victims anymore. We're not victims. If he can come and do that, and if he can puppeteer us, then none of us, all of us are subject to his whims and his wills. But he can only maneuver us like pawns on a chessboard based upon how much investment is still in us. Yes, he's a factor. Yes, Ephesians 6 says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But I really want, and I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I want my warfare to come to a place where it's blatant. It's not because he's got something inside of me that he's maneuvering, but it's just face on face, God against the devil, life against death. It's just because he hates me, because I'm going further, not because he's got some part in me that he's moving around and I'm calling it something that he has the right to be there when he does not. Hallelujah. And I really hate sometimes to mention the devil, because somebody will grab hold of it and say, oh, that's what it is. That's why I did what I did. No, he doesn't have that power. But he's trying to deal with us on this level, and it's perfect. And then what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to change that. Now listen, perfect can slip. It can slip to acceptable if you don't allow him. And if you don't allow him, you can go through a season. Man, I can't hardly believe it, but that wouldn't be a definition of faith. But it's amazing how long God will deal with something just on a certain level. And He'll try to deal with you, and you'll still be fellowshipping with Him on perfect. But if you don't deal with it, then after a season time, sometimes it can last months. Sometimes it'll last based on a person's knowledge of even in times of years. But listen, you got to deal with it. And if you don't, then perfect will slip to acceptable. In other words, where you're living at. And if you don't, then you can slip to good. You can slip down to a place where you're still under the blood, you're still going to heaven, but the whole process of your life, at times I've known him good enough to know, say, God, you know, where am I? I don't like the answers I get sometimes. In this particular area of my flesh, where am I? He would rate me. Because I knew I wasn't in the perfect, because it'd show up every once in a while. But he'd really encourage me, because he'd say, son, even at this point in time, you're somewhere. I heard him one time say, you're somewhere between good and acceptable. Well, I'll take that until I can get to perfect. But perfect is a place of continual change. And it's not that you're always all your life trying to get to perfect. You can walk continually in perfect until He lays His hand on you and says, you know what? You've heard enough word and you know enough. Now yield. And when you say, okay, I'll yield. Now there's still a process. There's still some snip, snip, snip of the vine. But guess what? It shortens the season a whole lot quicker. But then if you make crazy old statements like, well, I don't know about change. 5 miles an hour is just as bad as committing adultery. You don't know Him. You don't know Him. You've not met Him in intimacy and in fellowship to know that your Abba holds you and He caresses and He goes in with a fine-tooth comb, and every area of your life is intimacy to Him. And it's He not only breaks down us inside of Christ, He's so meticulous, He breaks down people outside of Christ in judgment. He said, Capernaum, because of your religious attitude, you're going to suffer the consequences of hell worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So can you imagine that? Even on the other side of Christ, there's different degrees of suffering in eternity. I don't want to know too much about that. You don't think that there's not reward? What is the reward system based on? You're yielding this to Him. Not a blatant statement like, well, everything's the same. My God, you got to know this, that He's dealing with you as an intimate Father on every area of your life. And when you don't give Satan the opportunity of excuse, if you don't say, in essence, He came in, swept me off my feet. Well, what happens then, Pastor? You know, I was doing real. Let me tell you, the part that you ever have to, just following Jesus' ministry, the part that you ever have to be spotlight, watch out for, if there's ever a neon, that you need to say, okay, I'm not going to get in fear, but this is the part I really, 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 really need to look at more than anything else. Okay, then it's easy. By the Holy Spirit, watch the ministry of Jesus. Anytime He had a great crusade, the 4,000, the 5,000, any of the raising of the man at the pool of Bethesda, any of those things, He would always depart and separate Himself because He knew at change and mighty works, there was always a level of darkness that would come right on the heels of that. And many times He would send His disciples away and say, I need to get in change. And what I'm doing is I've got to cover myself, my mind. He would go up. He would pray all night. He was praying for them too, because He knew the onslaught of the enemy, the rage of the enemy set on the precipices of the enemy trying to come in right on the area of change. Right when you get to the point of change, that's when He'll usually come the most. So if anything wonderful happens, God uses you, are you really starting? This is where a lot of times you'll look at people and it looks like, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, Pastor. Can I share a revelation with you? And I love it. My goodness. Yep, share it. And they're revelation. And then they're not really trying, but they tell you, you know, I'm enjoying the presence of God. And then you see Him show up. Guess what? God is getting ready to take them from where they're walking at that point may be perfect. But it's not the full ear in the corn. He's got as far as conscience wise, it's perfect. But He's going to change them. And guess what? Something builds. And then God's going to say, He's going to slip something in on them. Guess what? Look at this. Here's the mirror, James. Here's the mirror of who you're supposed to be. And then when you do, you'll usually see an ugly in there. You'll see a Twilight Zone monster that had a face put on. You're combing your hair one day and you say, "Woo, been looking good today." And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost drops on you and says, "Okay, you want to change?" "Yes." "Oh my God. Oh, I love you so much. Change me. Open your eyes and there's this green-eyed monster. Look, oh God. What was that? It was jealousy. What? Pride. I'm the humblest man I know, and I'm proud to say so. Hallelujah. I do not live in offense. I'll take you outside, and we'll go to fist to cuff about who's the humblest and who loves God the most. Hallelujah. If you turn into that, say, wait a minute. Now, what was that? Is that something the devil's trying to accuse me of my past? Or does this come up in a beautiful place of peace, and God's just saying to me, son, I'm working on this. And all He needs is a congenial yes. All He needs is a congenial yes, Father. That's all He needs. You can't make it happen on your own. Only grace. And you got to keep your eyes on Him. Only grace. But you run from it. Go to the beach on it. Picnic on it. Watch more HBO on it. Guess what? Good and perfect. Perfect will slip to, you know, down to acceptable. And sometimes somebody's getting close. Here's the time that somebody needs to pray for them, because you're getting close to that breakthrough. I want that breakthrough. And this is where a lot of times you'll look at somebody. This is where I wish I could just flip a switch, because He's exhorting and He's the one doing it. I wish I could flip a switch and say, I take all of any identification of personality or anybody that could pop up in your mind so you could just receive it in the generality of the Word. But all I can do is what He says. So a lot of times you'll see somebody coming. They'll be getting closer, going to church all the time. And then all of a sudden it's just like, boom! It didn't take them 2 weeks. It took them 1 week. From 1 week to the next, you didn't see them for 6 months. Why? I thought they were doing good, Pastor. They were. They weren't fooling. They really were appealing to God. The only thing is, you're going to get to a certain point where God's going to show you yourself. And at that point in time, you either say yay or nay. And if you run from it and give excuse to it, then all of hell comes. Pulls itself up. Pulls you in. Well, what should I do, Pastor? I'm with you. I don't know that I'm leading you. I'm just in the crowd. Let's hold hands and do this together. Run into that. Run into the Holy Spirit. Anything that comes up as pride and says, boy, I'm glad they're preaching that to somebody up at the back of the church or up at the front of the church. And I can turn around and I know who pastor's preaching that to. I know who he is. You got the old shovel. Oh, this ain't me. I'll shovel some of that back there to you because you can hear it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change begins with yieldedness. That's where it comes. I wanted to go to here, but he wanted to go here. Hallelujah, Jesus. He just wants to reiterate again where change starts, where change takes place at. So pray for one another. If you've seen anybody in a hard time and they start getting closer and closer and closer, they're not faking it. They're not even a hypocrite. They're about to run into change. And here's the deal. You run into it, boom. You're either going to step over it, and then if you leave and you're gone for 6 months, guess what? You don't get, once you come back, because He loves you as a father, you don't get a free pass to go past this point and say, "Ooh, I didn't want to deal with that no-how." You're going to invariably, if you leave 50 times and come back, you're going to come back and He's going to put your nose right up against the same boulder. The same one. You're the same one. You're going to have to face that same one. Hallelujah. This is why I've been gone. And that crazy pastor, you know, sometimes he makes me happy, but most of the time he makes me sad. Because he always talks about change. Now, if I got to get it, you're going to get it too. If I got to be miserable and change, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Misery loves company. Hallelujah. Well, we need to go out and get them all. Yes, we do, but I'll tell you what. I'm almost to the point of putting a disclaimer on this church. Well, he said, go ye into all the world and preach to God. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But he also said that he added to the church daily in those beginning. Why? We've been a long time in an adding process because the foundation's being built. And boy, I want to tell you, Candy and I appreciate every single one of you. We love you. Everybody that stands in their place, in the back, everybody in the sound booth, everybody up here, all the ladies praying, all the men praying, everybody that's sitting there praying, everybody that's just part of anything that's going on, everybody that comes up here and stands, puts a prayer cloth over, everybody that does anything in the nursery, you are appreciated. This is not a one-man show, and I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell you that. But I can tell you this. We're not broadcasting our seed. Because we're training for an outpouring that will eventually cause thousands to come in. Let's just go get a bunch. No, I'll tell you what. You go get them. And they're not ready. You bring them in here. You bring a fish into the boat before you've wore him out. If he's green, you got everybody in the boat having to back up. Bam, 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 bam. If the Holy Spirit don't bring them in here, they are flinging stuff, and I ain't going to call it what it is, all over the walls. And they're making everybody mad. And they're making, Don't. If they want to come, bring them in. But don't force them because they don't understand what we're doing. They don't understand what we're doing. We're a cult if they're not ready. If the Holy Spirit doesn't wear them out, and they get to a point to say, "My God, have you got an answer?" Yes, we do. His name is Jesus. And the Holy Ghost will baptize you. Otherwise, you bring them in here, they're mad at you. They'll be mad at me. They'll be mad at everybody. This is the most unfriendly church I ever seen in my life. And all I've ever heard by anybody that ever come in was it was the most friendly church I ever seen. Y'all a bunch of weirdos. I'm staying, but y'all still a bunch of weirdos. Listen. Honestly, I'm not after people. I'm not trying to build a congregation. I'm not trying to build a ministry. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We want to see a nationwide, worldwide revival that'll hook up with a bunch of other bodies of believers all over this planet and bring Jesus back to planet Earth. Hallelujah. Would you just stand and lift your hands and just magnify Him just a little bit? Hallelujah. We want change, Jesus. Would you just begin to ask Him for change in your life? I glorify You. I magnify You, Jesus. I praise and exalt You, Jesus. Holy Spirit wants me to remind you as you go on your way and as you contemplate change and sanctify this into your heart, remember, saith the Lord, the staple of praying in other tongues. Remember to do this often and continually for change to take place inside of you. Saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. A change takes place, but it takes place as a choice. But if there's anything that the Holy Spirit is reminding me, and I had that to say as an edification, and He just switched over to a direct word of prophecy. If there's a staple in your life that'll cause change, it's praying in tongues. When we got born again, the next person that Jesus introduces us to, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in with the gift. And amazing enough, you were not imputed with immediately all the knowledge of the Word of God. You didn't become a seasoned worshiper at that time. You didn't even become a faster at that time. But one thing He came to you immediately at the born-again experience was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gave you the gift of praying in other tongues. So in that sense, it is a priority. In that sense, we say it is earmarked as a place of entry into change. And two things, it's a two-edged sword. Not only will it bring illumination for what needs to be changed into you, but it'll also pacify those places inside of you that usually are raging that won't allow change. It'll give you an inoculation against yourself to say, I don't want change. It actually begins to soothe and calm and bring you to a place of rest to say, okay, I will change. Hallelujah. So if there's anything you want to go out of here with, coupled with change, is to say, Lord, I want to pray more in the Holy Ghost than I've ever prayed before. I want to spend my hours, and God, separate me. Show me the times. I'll tell you, it just going down the road, praying in tongues, working, praying in tongues will change you. But then He'll also take you to other places, solitudes, places of solitudes. Hallelujah.